40 seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Cristiano Ronaldo and the Spanish football club Real Madrid. Led by Ronaldo's hat trick, Real defeated surprise package Kashima Antlers of Japan 4-2 in extra time to lift the FIFA Club World Cup trophy for a second time. Real also won the trophy 2 years ago in Morocco. And speaking of trophies, it's been a year of big trophies for Cristiano Ronaldo. Speaking in Yokohama after winning his latest trophy, Ronaldo said 2016 has, in his words, become a perfect year for him. And Ronaldo added, and I quote, "If you ask me which cup I'm most happy about, it's difficult to choose because all the cups are different. But Portugal's Euro Champions Cup has become a very special one for me." On July 10th, Portugal won its first major title when it defeated host France 1-0 in extra time in the Euro 2016 final. And in May, Cristiano Ronaldo also scored the winning penalty kick as Real Madrid beat city rival Atletico Madrid to win the UEFA Champions League trophy for the second time in 3 seasons. But wait, VOA football fans, there's more. Yes, you might say Ronaldo's cups definitely runneth over in 2016. Last week, Ronaldo won his 4th Ballon d'Or trophy, given to him by France Football Magazine as the world's best football player. And I'd say there's a pretty good chance Ronaldo could win another big trophy on January 9th when World Football's governing body FIFA holds its annual awards ceremony in Zurich, Switzerland. Cristiano Ronaldo is on the 3-man shortlist for FIFA's Male Player of the Year for 2016, along with Argentina and Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi, and France and Atletico Madrid striker Antoine Griezmann. Meanwhile, the FIFA Club World Cup in Japan marked the first time FIFA has used a video review system to help referees with their decisions on the pitch during one of its major tournaments. FIFA officials say the system was tried out and evaluated, and no decision has been made on whether it will be used during the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Speaking before the final in Yokohama, FIFA President Gianni Infantino gave the video system a thumbs up.
"We are even more encouraged by the results because we have seen that it's actually possible for referees to learn very quickly how the system functions. And the results so far in the tests, both in the offline tests as well in the online tests, in the live tests now in an official competition, have been extremely encouraging, extremely positive."
FIFA President Gianni Infantino says he's extremely encouraged by the new video replay system, but that doesn't mean all football fans approve of the technology. Cristiano Ronaldo's injury time goal during one of the semifinals angered some of the fans in Japan. It was originally disallowed for an offside infraction before being allowed on video review. FIFA's head of refereeing, Massimo Busacca, says the video assistant referee, or VAR, will help referees make more accurate judgments.
The referee will not change the way to officiate. We ask the referee to maintain their personality and to decide as a first in the game. The most difficult part will be the referee beside one video, and this is another information, is not technology will take a decision. We will always have a human taking a decision. Evaluate again and correct a possible clear mistake. So this is what we did, basically. We arrived here, we say we go offline, we go online.
Now let's go to Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos, and let's give another sunny side of sports salute to Senegal, which won the title at the 2016 Africa Beach Soccer Cup of Nations tournament. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other African football news.
Senegal have been crowned champions for the fourth time after defeating host Nigeria 8-4 in Sunday's final at the Echo Atlantic Beach, Lagos. The win is also Senegal's fourth straight win against the Sun Eagles of Nigeria. Both teams, however, have qualified to represent the continent at the World Cup Championships holding in Bahamas in 2017. It will be Nigeria's third World Cup appearance after defeated at the tournaments in Brazil and Italy. Senegal will be making their fifth World Cup outing after they reached the last eight in 2007 and 2011. Elsewhere, Mr. Philip Chiangwa has been elected as president of the Council of Southern Africa Football Associations, COSAFA, after he stood unopposed at the organization's annual general meeting at Sun City, South Africa on Saturday. The Zimbabwe Football Association president takes over from Suketu Patel, who chose not to stand after completing two terms in office. The other contender for the role of COSAFA president, Danny Jordan from South Africa, withdrew from the vote. VOA.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Nigeria's Sports Minister Solomon Dalong has come out to blame the Nigerian Football Federation over the disgraceful episode concerning the late payment of the Super Falcons bonuses and allowances after they won the Women's African Cup of Nations in Cameroon. The minister suggested that the NFF submitted a budget for the African Women Cup of Nations in Cameroon late, and so the problems that saw the Falcons embark on a well-publicized protest to press for their entitlements. The minister equally wondered how the NFF got the funds to stage an annual general assembly but could not pay the Falcons. Nigeria Sports Minister Solomon Dalong has also ordered an audit of the finances of the Nigerian Football Federation after the World Football Governing Body FIFA suspended any grants to the FA until they properly account for the $1.1 million that have been paid to them. As the African Cup of Nations draws closer, many countries are beginning to step up their preparations. The Black Stars will be heading to Dubai for their preparations ahead of the African Cup of Nations to be staged in Gabon next year. The Stars finished second in Equatorial Guinea and will be landing in Gabon, seeking to end a 35-year-old wait for the trophy they have won on four occasions in the past. For Uganda, the Ugandan Cranes Group D opponents at the 2017 African Cup of Nations, Mali have lined up a friendly against Burkina Faso. The two West African nations are expected to face off in Morocco on Saturday, January the 7th, 7 days prior to the kickoff of the tournament in Gabon. Mali, coached by Frenchman Alain Grisé, have been drawn in Group D, where they will face 1978 finalists Uganda, Ghana, and Egypt. I'm Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America. Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
As we look back on some of our 2016 sports highlights, the Denver Broncos proved super on February 7th. That's when the Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers 24-10 to win the Super Bowl of American-style professional football in Santa Clara, California. This was the 50th Super Bowl, the National Football League's annual championship game. And VOA's Park Brewer filed this post-game report from Santa Clara.
Denver relied on its number one ranked defense to stifle the high-powered offense of Carolina and its star quarterback Cam Newton, who a day before had won the NFL's Most Valuable Player Award. But it was Newton's four turnovers, thanks to the Broncos' defense, that proved costly to his Panthers. Denver intercepted two of his passes and forced him to fumble twice with hard hits. Newton's first fumble deep in his own territory in the first quarter resulted in a Denver touchdown. His second came late in the game with the Broncos leading 16-10 and gave them the ball near the Panthers' goal line. Denver scored shortly thereafter to seal the victory. It was the rare Super Bowl where an offensive player did not win the Most Valuable Player Award. That honor went to Denver linebacker Von Miller, who forced one of the fumbles.
It's honestly not about me. I mean, if I could cut this award up and give it to DeMarcus Wolfe and all the other guys, that's what I would do. This is our greatest stuff, but for me, you know, I want to be with my guys. I would take the ring. You know, MVP is great, but I take the ring. I want to go in there with my teammates.
Winning his second Super Bowl ring was Peyton Manning, who at age 39 is the oldest quarterback to win the big game.
Up until that final second goes off, you're kind of into the game and into the moment. But I was certainly very excited, and it's a special moment to be there with your teammates and, you know, see Coach Kubiak get the Gatorade poured on him and, you know, have a chance to visit with, you know, coaches and players. That is a unique moment because after that, it's a little bit chaotic. Everybody's kind of going separate places, getting pulled on, and that moment on the sidelines is always something that you'll remember.
He also became the first to quarterback different teams to the championship. He won with the Indianapolis Colts in 2007. Park Brewer, VOA News, Santa Clara, California.
Thanks, Park. As Park mentioned, Peyton Manning, who was 39 years old back in February, well, he turned 40 in March. He's the oldest quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning announced his retirement after 18 NFL seasons on March 7th, 2016. The final words of Manning's retirement speech were, and I quote, "I've fought a good fight. I finished my football race. And after 18 years, it's time. God bless all of you and God bless football." Well, football is definitely a big part of the Manning family. Peyton's younger brother, 35-year-old Eli Manning, is the quarterback for the New York Giants. Eli Manning threw two touchdown passes on Sunday as the Giants beat the visiting Detroit Lions 17-6 to improve their record to 10 wins and 4 losses. The Giants have won 8 of their past 9 games. Like his older brother, Eli Manning is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. Eli and Peyton's father, Archie Manning, also played quarterback in the National Football League. Now let's go to Uganda's capital, Kampala, where an unlikely chess club in the slums of the city became a global powerhouse, and the inspiring story of the club's founder and members became a book and a movie this year. Faiza El-Masri wrote the following report, and it's narrated by my VOA colleague, Faith Lapidus.
Robert Katende started this chess program 14 years ago for children with disabilities in Kampala. Now it attracts hundreds of kids in 300 locations across Uganda.
I never imagined what it has turned out to be, for sure, because all what I was looking at was to see how best I would be able to empower these kids, to help them realize their full potential.
Queen of Katwe, the new movie from Disney, tells the story of Katende's chess clubs and Fiona Mutesi, the young girl who became a world chess champion despite her modest background. The film is set in the overcrowded slum of Katwe in the Ugandan capital, where Katende wanted to be a football coach for disadvantaged kids. But he noticed they weren't that interested in playing sports, so he decided to teach them chess instead. He started out with a team of five boys, whom he called the Pioneers. Fiona Mutesi joined later, and in a few years, the team was traveling around the world to represent Uganda in international competitions. Richard Tugume is one of the original pioneers.
The film, I think, it's actually making a lot, transforming a lot of lives of the people in Katwet, because personally, I believe now that it doesn't matter wherever you come from, because people here come from slums, but whoever will watch that movie will be able to know that there is life outside Katwet.
During the movie premiere in Kampala, the local actors shared the limelight with stars like British-Nigerian actor David Oyelowo, who plays Katende.
It was invaluable shooting in Katwe because it's such a specific place. And that's what I love about the film, what I loved about the script, is its specificity. It wasn't just a general African country. This wasn't just a general depiction of a girl's life.
The experience of living in poverty is familiar to many of the film's Ugandan actors. Medina Nalwanga, who plays Fiona, used to sell corn as a child. Martin Kabanza, who plays her brother Brian, was also a child street vendor.
I used to walk around on the streets with shoes, selling them with my father, which I think it's somehow related to what I was doing in the movie. So I was like doing my real story.
And the movie, for the most part, sticks to that real amazing story of believing in yourself. Writer Faiza El Masri. I'm Faith Lapidus.
Thanks, Faith. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Nnamdi Hollywood Mowata, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Nnamdi is ringside at the Fabulous Forum near Los Angeles. And I included a quote from Nnamdi, who says, "I've never been this scared ringside. Sad way to go out. Thank God he did not land on a sharp object outside the ring." The man he's talking about is former world champion boxer Bernard Hopkins, who was knocked out of the ring. A scary, scary incident in his farewell fight. And that's not the way I want to go out. Anyways, joining us here in Studio 22 for a look at some of the latest sports social media trends is VOA's Doug Bernard. Sporty seasonal greetings, Doug.
Sporty greetings. Good to be here.
What is trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, several things trending in athletics. I just have to say, on that earlier story about the Mannings, you know, I just have to wonder what the holiday tables are like in that household. Anyway, obviously you were talking about Cristiano Ronaldo a little bit earlier. I think you used the expression, his cupboard overflowing with
his cup. Oh, his cup runneth over.
Indeed, indeed. And he knows it. He is describing 2016 as a, quote, spectacular year for himself. And he is trending right now on Twitter. Just hashtag Ronaldo. You don't need anything else for that. Mm. Of course, you know, he helped lead Real Madrid to the Club World Cup, Portugal to the European Championship. He recently won the Ballon d'Or.
I think
for the fourth time, which is really something. Now, so he was giving a news conference after the defeat of the Antlers, the Kashima Antlers in Japan. And this is what he had to say to the sports, sports journalists. Quote, "They always expect more of Cristiano," referring to himself in the third person. And he went on to say, "It's been a week full of joy after winning the Ballon d'Or. I thank my teammates because without them, Cristiano couldn't have won these awards." So I don't know if this is a thing that he does or...
I know he likes to rip off his jersey after he scores a goal, but I'm pretty sure he was clothed at that news conference.
I assume it's also pretty clear that he just likes himself.
So, that's true.
But anyway,
that's true.
You have a year like his, I guess you're allowed. Well, let's move on. Another big item in Twitter, the Twitterverse right now, and it's this time of year we start seeing People of the Year, all these kind of awards. Well, the BBC has unveiled their Sports People of the Year. There are three awards, one for the UK, one for the foreign international star, Star and a Lifetime Achievement.
Okay.
So the UK award goes to Andy Murray. It's his third win for that particular, for the Sports Person of the Year. And look, you know, he won gold at the Olympics. He won the Wimbledon title. He displaced Novak Djokovic as the number one ranked
great year.
Player.
Great year for
Andy
Murray.
Tremendous year for Andy Murray. So the international star that they named, the Sports Person of the Year, is Simone Biles. And think back.
Interesting pick.
Yes, interesting. And think back to those Olympics. Now, of course, she's just 19. She's really only been competing for about, oh, 3 or 4 years, you know, at sort of the, you know, world level. And of course, she just was dazzling, I think, in Rio. She dazzled the crowd. She certainly dazzled the judges. She won 4 gold medals. And, you know, we've talked about this before. She's got a really interesting life story. She was adopted by her grandfather after she was taken away from her mother. Kind of a very sad situation, but she's certainly gone on to great success. She has her own gymnastic move called the Biles, which is a double backward somersault with a half twist and blind landing at the end. That sounds like something I'd order in a bar. Sure it is. And just before the Olympics, she got her own emoji this year. It's called the Simonji.
The Simonji. I like that.
There you go.
I like that, Doug.
So for the Lifetime Achievement, this is probably no surprise. Maybe surprise he didn't get it earlier. Michael Phelps was awarded the sort of Lifetime Sports Person of the Year award. Only one person gets it a year, and you can only get it once. Of course, he won 6 medals in Rio, I think.
Five gold. I think
one silver.
Silver,
I think. So his total Olympic medals since 2000, unbelievable, 28. And 23 of them are gold. So just
more than many countries, Doug.
Absolutely. You know, that's so right. I hadn't even thought of that. So just astounding. And, you know, there, the BBC ran a lengthy story on how, you know, Michael Phelps really was, I think, almost just kind of built to swim. They talk about, you know, he has kind of a unique physique. His torso is, on average, much larger than his competitors.
Mm.
That helps him keep more afloat and sort of horizontal in the water. He's got a huge, you know, fingertip-to-fingertip wingspan. He's got double-jointed ankles, which allows him to use those feet sort of like flippers. And researchers have found that he produces one-half the amount of lactic acid than his competitors. That's that stuff that builds up in your muscles. You feel kind of creaky and cranky, and you get kind of sore. You got to work it out. Well, all these advantages, obviously, you know, come together to spell...
Just
phenomenal.
Phenomenal athlete indeed. Yeah. Doug, I know here in Washington, the inauguration of the next president about a month away, and
indeed. He
is trending in the sports world?
The
president-elect?
Donald Trump, the president-elect, is trending in the sports world. That's because earlier today, he selected his nominee to be Secretary of the Army, and it is, drumroll please, Vincent Viola. Now, you may not know that name, but I do. Vincent Viola is the owner of the Florida Panthers NHL hockey team.
Okay.
And he's been, I always have to sneak a hockey in there, I guess, somehow. But no, this is, he did serve in the Army Airborne, Mr. Viola. He has owned the team since its 93 expansion down there in southern Florida in Sunrise. And so people really kind of excited about that. Maybe I think hockey fans a little bit more so because, you know, hockey's always been sort of kind of a bit of a forgotten sport. During his time here in Washington, his 8 years, there was always a big campaign to get President Obama to come out to one of the hockey games here
right,
in Washington,
right.
Root on the Capitals or maybe his Chicago Blackhawks. It never happened. But now, perhaps, we may actually see, you know, a senior administration official in the Trump administration.
Now, any conflict of interest there?
Well, not that has been discussed so far. The Secretary of the Army obviously is in charge of many things, but they serve below the Secretary of Defense. And, of course, that's obviously the key role. And they're always civilians. The U.S. has a tradition of civilian control of the military. So it's just an interesting selection, as controversial or sort of unconventional, I suppose, as a lot of the rest of his choices.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the December 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Much has changed in the 35 years since a terrible new disease, known today as HIV/AIDS, was identified. Before, an HIV/AIDS diagnosis was a death sentence. A person with HIV often lived less than a year after it progressed to AIDS. Today, nearly half of the 37 million people living with HIV/AIDS receive life-saving HIV treatment, allowing them normal lives. Through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, the United States has been at the forefront of the global response. PEPFAR is the largest commitment by any nation to combat a single disease in history, said U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator Ambassador Deborah Birx. Recent data show the epidemic is becoming controlled in several key African countries, demonstrating the remarkable impact of PEPFAR's investments. Indeed, achieving an AIDS-free generation is now within our reach. Driven by research and data, our collective efforts have saved millions of lives and are turning the tide against HIV/AIDS, said USAID Administrator Gail Smith. Today, PEPFAR is supporting 11.5 million people globally with life-saving treatment. The good news is, according to a recent UNAIDS report, infections in children globally have dropped 51% between 2010 and 2015. Simultaneously, annual AIDS-related deaths fell from 2 to 1.11 million. The bad news is the virus is spreading among young women in sub-Saharan Africa. According to a recent UNAIDS report, last year nearly 1 in 5 new infections worldwide occurred in women between the ages of 15 and 24. Adolescent girls and young women account for nearly 75% of new HIV infections among adolescents in sub-Saharan Africa. This is concerning, as the 15 to 24-year-old population in sub-Saharan Africa will have doubled by 2020. There are many reasons for the alarming rates of new HIV infections among young women, including gender-based violence, exclusion from economic opportunities, insufficient access to health care, even a lack of access to secondary education. So, through PEPFAR, the United States is working with its partners to reduce, by the end of 2017, new HIV infections among adolescent girls and young women by 40% in the highest HIV burden areas of 10 sub-Saharan African countries. It's the first time the U.S. government has ever set specific targets for preventing new HIV infections among this group, underscoring the U.S. global strategy to empower adolescent girls. With our partners, we can sustain an enduring legacy of American leadership, compassion, and determination, said USAID Administrator Smith. Together, we can end AIDS worldwide by 2030.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 2016 year in review, we'll take a look at some of the continent's major events and happenings. We'll discuss Africa's political landscape and some of the challenges its leaders faced in 2016. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.